In a world where women continue to break through glass ceilings, shatter stereotypes, and redefine success, there are so many stories just waiting to be heard. And that is exactly what this podcast is all about. I'm your host, Katie Williams, and in each episode, we'll sit down together with inspiring female entrepreneurs from diverse industries, backgrounds, and stages of their journey. We'll explore the lessons they've learned, the obstacles they've overcome, and the advice they have for those who might be ready to take a leap of their own. I cannot wait to dive into the day-to-day realities of running a business, often while juggling other roles like being a mum or working multiple jobs. You can expect honest conversations, valuable advice, and a whole lot of inspiration. So grab yourself a cuppa and let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Small Biz Society, the podcast. I'm Katie and today I am joined by Lara. Hello, Lara. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Katie. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
So I'm Lara. I'm an e-commerce marketing strategist. So what that is I basically help aspiring brands, e-commerce brands, so product-based businesses, grow their sales by attracting their ideal customer and keep them coming back on repeat.
Amazing. So this is all to do with websites, or are there other things?
So the website, there's absolutely the website element is definitely involved with it. But the idea is that I create, you know, plans to help you grow. If you have a product based business or an online store, I help you create plans that can grow. And the idea is that every business is different. So I really help you create a plan that is right for you and right for your business.
Okay.
I kind of take a very holistic approach. So depending on where you are in your journey. So if you're starting out, we really work quite a lot on sort of building the foundation. So thinking about your mission, your vision, where you belong within the market. So we want to make sure that you are doing something different, that you are filling some kind of a gap. And if you're established, then it's great because we have a lot of data to go on.
Yeah.
So we get to look at what's worked, what hasn't worked, what can we try that's different. But it's a kind of a three-piece system that all work together. So what I mean by that is this. So if we're working really hard on your marketing messaging, so if we're working really hard on getting people to your online store, so you've gathered them, so you've made them sort of walk through the customer journey, they've landed on your store, they want to buy something, but your website is not designed to convert and you lose that sale, your marketing has gone to waste. So we are going to make sure that your website is fit for conversion. It's like going to be amazing. It's going to be engaging. It's going to build trust. It's going to get people to buy from you. And the same goes for if, let's say, somebody has made the sale, how do you keep them engaged? How do you keep them coming back? Because eventually you want them to come back. You want them to fall in love with your brand. You want them to talk about you, to tell all your friends, to become like a raving fan.
Yeah.
So it's a three-piece kind of framework that works together, but I know that it tends to scare people. It tends to confuse people. So the idea is to give you clarity, less confusion, and eventually give you confidence, because that's where it starts. If you don't have confidence in what you're doing, then you're not going to execute. So there's no point of giving you a strategy, a plan that you're just going to overwhelm you, that you're just going to drown in.
Yeah.
And then do nothing about, right? So the idea is to give you clarity, is to simplify it so you feel confident. So it feels like yours as well. You own it. You own the strategy because it's made for you. It's made for your business. And just to give you the confidence to execute.
Amazing.
So that is what I do.
That's amazing. So what's your background? Is this what you've always done or...?
No, so this is very much in its infancy. So my first, this is my second business. 6 years ago, the first business I did was I opened a shop with my husband, Dom. We opened a cheese and beer shop in Bristol.
Amazing.
It's called Two Belly. it kind of built a life of its own. It became more than just a shop. It was an experience. We did lots of events. We eventually then had a food truck. We became famous for our cheese toasties, being a cheese shop. So we eventually had a really cute old 1975 food truck
Oh, wow.
that was like blue, that had a blue and orange stripe, and it was just the cutest thing. So we had a food truck. We had a cheese stall in another wine shop, so we kind of collaborated with a wine shop, and then we had an online store. And the online shop first was born out of complete necessity. So
Yeah.
COVID hit, suddenly we had to close, but we could still operate because we were seen as an essential work or whatever you call it. And I suddenly went from having no website. I literally had a Wix page that was just like our address. Here are the cheeses we sell, but you had to come in. Like it was not e-commerce whatsoever. You couldn't buy from it. And suddenly the system went from people coming in to people emailing me. And imagine processing orders by email. And I was like, no, I need
Yeah.
to do something about this. So I had no tech skills. I was a massive technophobe. And I started looking into getting somebody to design it, but I was like, man, this is so expensive. I know I can do it. I know I can do it. I know
Yeah.
it. So I had to learn from scratch how to create a website. And it went from a Wix, not a Wix, oh yeah, Wix. And then I created a Squarespace website. And it was literally 6 weeks of blood, sweat, and tears. Because I would do things like take pictures of stuff, take pictures of the product, then upload it onto Squarespace. And it was just the completely wrong like size, or I've zoomed in more. It was just horrible. So I had to really learn the smallest things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we created a Squarespace, and then eventually it grew quite a lot, and I realized that I needed to move on to Shopify. And Shopify really, with e-commerce, is where it's at. It's got all the features that you need to blow up your business, really. So I moved on to Shopify, and that's when I started to take it proper seriously. And we started to sell more than just the products, which is like cheese and beer and wine and whatnot. We started to sell experiences. So we boxed everything up into experience boxes. So you could buy like a cheese and like you'd buy a beer sommelier box, right? Which had like cheese and beer in it and tasting notes and you basically shared it with friends and made a night out of it and these kinds of things. So we started
Yeah.
creating experience boxes. And then I was lucky enough to be able to afford through my business a coaching program about how to grow your online store, because it became a national, it didn't stop at local. We started to suddenly get lots of national traffic. So we were sending to Scotland and Ireland and all over the place, which was great. And then I got lucky enough to buy a very expensive coaching program. And then I was like, man, like suddenly everything kind of started to come together in terms of all the information that you kind of find online. Suddenly it really started to come together. And I realized that this needs to be more accessible. More people need to know about this because it could make or break your business. So I started to think about it then that I really wanted to do something like that, but with a different approach.
Yeah.
And then, and that's where the idea kind of was born. And then we ended up closing shop last April, and I've kind of been doing this since the summer, so
That's incredible.
it's still a baby, but that's pretty much where it came about.
So have you had any challenges or anything so far? Obviously, it's still, so you're about, what are we, about 10 months, 11 months?
Something like that, like yeah, like maybe 9 months. So I always say I got my first client in June. So I always say, oh yeah, about 9 months, 9, 10 months. Anyway, something like that. Challenges. So I am an introvert through and through. So in my previous business, my husband was the face. He was the show off, and I loved being behind the scenes, doing social media and everything else. So I think the biggest thing I face is being visible. Is the visibility, is the showing up online, as yourself, or what you have to say or whatnot. And I really had to face a lot of demons I didn't know existed. So that are kind of really tied around your self-worth and being validated online. It inflated this idea that, obviously we are, as human beings, we need to get validation from people. But on this scale of like, I'm going to put myself out there and see who likes it. Oh my God. Like the amounts of videos or the content that I have created that does not see the light of day, like So many, it's ridiculous. So I think that has been the biggest challenge is just, my mantra for this year has been get comfortable with being uncomfortable. But this is on another level of uncomfortableness because as a business owner, you are making uncomfortable decisions every day. You're just like, I don't even know if what I'm doing is the right thing. But that to me, the being visible, and it ties into being visible and the networking aspect altogether. As an introvert, I tend to cut conversations really short. So like even online, it's like I have to really try and fight against just not worrying too much, and just not listening to that voice inside, that's the biggest. So I think being visible, and just the networking that comes around it has been a challenge. I didn't need it as much in my other business. My other business was so much more comfortable. The steps were laid out in front of me. I knew exactly what I had to do. And this is just very, messy. Messy territory for me.
And I imagine, obviously, you had your business with your husband, so there were two of you to do the parts, but this is solely yours.
This is just me.
Yeah, so it's you have to do everything, don't you? And
Yes.
I imagine it's a bit different ball game.
Completely. And you're just constantly relying on yourself to everything from being your own cheerleader to being the CEO mindset of like knowing what decisions to take and when to take them and what to say when and how to sell and how not to, when to step back and who to get in touch with. And, am I saying the right message? Like, does the messaging sound like me? Does it not? Am I being authentic to myself? Am I not? So yeah, there's a lot of it, but I love it. I love that aspect of being just me. I don't mind it. So the way I combat the visibility thing is I actually do a lot of cold outreach via email because I feel like while I'm learning to be more comfortable with being visible or doing it in a way that's more comfortable to me, because you're constantly looking at what other people are doing and go, oh, maybe I can try that, or maybe I could try this, or maybe, you know what I mean? Like being influenced by other people. So I feel like I just need to find my way of doing it. But in the meantime, I love cold outreach. Because I just find that really quite, and not through Instagram, it's mainly through email. I find that quite entrepreneurial, like of just like going after it, going just, the businesses you want to work with, tell them you exist, because you can't. The reach on Instagram is not, I mean, I don't know what everyone keeps talking about the algorithm, but it's different these days. It's really not that easy. And I just think just relying on it does not really work. So I really do believe in going out there and speaking directly to the people that you want to speak to. So that's how I kind of combat my visibility
Do you
issues.
get lots of responses to those emails? Do some people just ignore it?
Oh, loads of people do. Loads of people. And you just have to understand that I used to be one of them too. I mean, people used to call, email me all the time. And if it's something I needed, I would respond. And if not, then of course I would ignore it. But it's, you can't really take it personally. And I think what I do is I try and change the subject line, or I try and change the content, or I think it's just a matter of like just testing things out all the time, seeing what. And also knowing that one email isn't going to do it. Two or three might not. So it's almost like just having a system of like, okay, cool. I've got all these people that I emailed. I know I should email them again. I'm just going to do it. And it just becomes like a system. And I really, yeah, it's been all right so far. So it's working.
That's great. So, what would you say has been your proudest moment to date?
I think for me, transitioning from the retail aspect, I mean, I think we decided to close because it just became a bit too much. It enveloped you, it consumed you. It was every day of every minute of every hour. And I wanted to change the business model and do something completely different. So I think for me, it's changing from that to this. Because now I get to work my own hours. I get to work from home. Me and my husband went away for the weekend. We just came back from East Sussex. It was lovely. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
lovely.
that aspect of it. So I think it feels like, oh, I'm kind of designing my life, because it was absolutely terrifying to close that business down. And I think creating that transition of where I was comfortable to something that terrifies the hell out of me and just doing it anyway. So yeah, I would say that transition.
So, what does a day in the life look like for you?
Okay, so it's not very exciting.
It completely different
Basically,
every day, or is it quite?
kind of. So I only do client work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Monday, Fridays, I leave it for like, so Mondays I'll try and batch content. So I'll batch my content on Mondays. And some days it'll be really easy and I'll be done early. And some other days it'll just be like running through treacle, where I'm just like, I have the idea, but I don't know how to like execute it. So I leave Mondays for planning, for looking ahead, and Fridays for kind of finishing up last minute things that I needed to finish up. I mean, my dream is to work Monday to Thursday.
Me too.
That's my dream. It's like, I think that I have too many things I want to do outside of work that don't fit in 2 days, you know? So Friday, I try and have a kind of a shorter day. So I just kind of make sure that it's like finishing up things that I need to finish up. And I don't do any client, as in when I say client work, I mean like I don't take any client calls. So if you were to book me, it's like I'm available Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on those calendars. And then usually mornings are content related, posting, not post, you know, that kind of thing, just like trying to engage with people. And so I leave it for social media. And then the afternoon will be more to do with client work, maybe working on a strategy or taking a call. And then in the evenings, I try and I'm part of quite a few memberships, so I try and sort of dig into that. So I do like sort of learning stuff on the evening, and I try and keep up with industry stuff and that kind of thing. But it's very much blocked like that. I used to have a to-do list, which just grow bigger by the day. So I tend to kind of plan things. Calendar blocking, but I do some calendar blocking where you kind of color code and that kind of thing. And that has helped immensely to kind of try and stay on
Is
track.
that like a digital calendar or a
So yeah, I use my email. So I use Zoho email. So I use just the email calendar for that. And it's connected to all my other personal calendars. So it just makes it so much easier. That's pretty much it.
So, do you plan your social media? I know obviously you do your content, but do you plan that far in advance, or is it a bit of a wing it?
Well, it kind of comes and goes, because sometimes I plan something and I'm like, oh, it doesn't quite feel right for this week. I tend to, so I've got an Excel sheet that I use, and I just have each tab is a month at a time. And I try and do 4 weeks in advance by just at least saying like, okay, I try and do, I mean, I have the last 2 weeks have not been my best social media days, but I really want to get into the habit of posting 5 times a week. So what I do is I will pinpoint like the subjects that I want to kind of go over, and I will say which format it is, kind of stories as well. But I'll try and plan that in advance. And sometimes it, like I said, it kind of feels like, you know what, I'm feeling talking about something different. So I'm quite flexible about it. But on Mondays, I'll try and actually write it. I'll try and write my content. I will. And I do everything in Canva, so it's pretty easy. But like I said, sometimes you really get stuck on something. And sometimes you let that voice in your head go, no, this is not a good idea, like backtrack. And then it just lives in my Canva library for ages without moving. And then I revisit and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. What am I doing?
It can happen like that, can't it? Because I've had times where I'm trying to create something, or I'm trying to draw something, and I'm like, it's not looking how I want it to look. So I go away from it. I can't get the layout right or whatever. I go away from it. I can come back to it, and I can do it within 5 minutes and be like, oh, I like it. It's just, I don't know. I think sometimes we do need to walk away and come back.
Yeah, I think you need to give it some breathing space, because you get way too stuck in your head. And I think The thing with content is that you have to really remember that you need to play the long game. So stop. I mean, I'm telling this to myself, like, stop trying to make each piece mind-blowing. I think that's the thing that stops me, is that each piece has to be mind-blowing and has to be so much value and has to be this and has to be that. And it's like, it really doesn't.
Yeah, I
It's
know.
kind of like a CV, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be like people are going to be looking through your whole feed, so you kind of want it to make sense with the whole feed. Not, you know, if every piece of content was like this mind-blowing standout content, I think it would get a bit overwhelming for whoever's
Yeah.
reading anyway. So yeah, just trying to remind myself that it's okay, like, just, yeah, do it, put it out there,
Just do
put
it.
the out there. And to be honest with you, I don't really care too much about likes or whatnot. I think that we can get really stuck in that, which is difficult to do, because obviously, I mean, I'm saying I don't care. I've taught myself not to care, because obviously you want people to love it, because you have some people saying on one hand, like, don't care about likes. And then on the other hand, somebody else goes, but you need to read the room, see what people are liking and what they're not liking, and do more of that. And you're like, but sometimes no one sees my stuff, you
And
know?
that's the thing, isn't it? You know, you can't really read the room if hardly anybody sees
That's what
it.
I mean. Yeah, so I think the best way is to try and not think about that aspect. I think that's the only way that you can put out content that you really want to put out, is to just stop worrying about that. It will come.
Yeah.
That will eventually come.
Yeah.
Play the long game.
Yes, definitely. All right. Do you have any big plans for the future? What are your goals?
So I think the thing I really want to do is to create a community of just e-commerce brand owners, kind of the type of brands that really are trying to create an impact, are trying to do something different, are trying to, it doesn't have to be world changing. It can just be creating more sustainable products, or creating something that looks and feels different, or uses a different brand voice. But the idea is to create a community of e-commerce brand owners, where also you have kind of experts involved, and everyone is, there's just like accessibility of, you know, practical information. I would love to create something like that, like a marketplace or a membership or something that feels like there's a fluidity of kind of information, of people that you can access. Yeah, I think something like that, the kind of the accessibility of knowing how to grow, and for it not to be gatekeeping. So like, you are in with the insider knowledge, that kind of thing,
Yeah.
in sense.
Yeah. That sounds
Accessing
brilliant.
experts, I guess, is something I really want to do.
Amazing. All right. Are you ready for the quick five five?
I think so. I think so. Yes, I
Give it a
am.
go, shall we? Who is your biggest inspiration?
So my biggest inspiration is my father. Basically, he came from a really small village in Palestine that just really had no options or opportunities. And he managed to, you know, before I was born, he managed to travel the world and create multiple businesses. And, you know, he really taught me that you can go from nothing to something and back to nothing again, and, you know, just kind of really move on from your failures. So he really taught me that you can fail and still get back up and do something amazing. And
Yeah.
he really kind of, you know, we ended up moving from Palestine to Marbella when I was 11. So he ended up creating this, you know, he designed his life. He just kind of created a life that he wanted to create. And it's inspiring to me. So, you know,
Yeah.
especially these days, where, you know, back in the day, they did not have this amount of information that we have today. So, yeah, I just find that really inspiring.
That's lovely. Do you have a favorite business book?
Yes, so I recently read, this is kind of business, half self-development. I recently read Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo. And it's awesome, because it's a mantra about how her line, her mantra is everything is figure outable, and she really takes you from when she started. So I don't know if you know Marie Forleo. She's a
Don't.
business. She's this. She's been. She's a business coach now. I think she started her life as a life coach, and now she does B School and she does Time Genius, two big courses that she launches a year. And she's been on Oprah, and she's got her own like Marie TV on YouTube, her own
Okay.
podcast. She's really, really cool. I absolutely love her. But her mantra is that everything is figure outable. And through that, she takes you through how she first started, which was from like realizing that she didn't want to be, I think she was on Wall Street, and she realized that that's not her thing. Like, that's not what she wanted to do, to doing it really messily and having working in bars while she was setting up her business. And it took 7 years for her business to really take off. And she just walks you through that, and it's just so relatable because it's all about taking messy action. And it's all about, you know, one of my favorite chapters is called Mind the Gap. And it's like, look, there's going to be a gap between how good you are. It's going to take you time to get as good as you want to be. It's kind of like what we're talking about with creating content. Like, oh my God, I want to be amazing, but maybe it's going to take me time to get there. So it's like, kind of like, understand that there's going to be a gap between how good you are because you're new to how good you actually want to be. So I kind of love that. I remind myself every day of that.
Yeah, that sounds like the perfect reminder.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I really highly recommend that book for anyone starting out. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, I definitely will. Do you have a favorite business podcast?
Yes, it's the Female Startup Club.
Okay.
It's basically a community of, I think they have a membership, and their podcast is based around interviewing women founders. I think it's mainly like e-commerce as well, which is really cool. There's so many valuable insights. So I would, yeah, it's really, really good. I would highly recommend.
Brilliant. What is your guilty pleasure?
Oh my Lord. I watch The Kardashians. That is my guilty pleasure. I love, you know, since they've all have successful businesses, I actually really enjoy watching the show. So that is, yeah, my guilty pleasure.
What is your favorite biscuit?
Shortbread. Shortbread biscuit. I love it. It's, you know, sugar, butter.
Bit
It's
luxurious, isn't
oh, so good.
it?
Yes, that is definitely my favorite. What's yours?
Honestly, I swear every time I talk to somebody, they say a biscuit, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know when you kind of forget about something, and I always say something like, which isn't really a biscuit, but like a Kit Kat, something sort of chocolatey and wafery. But I love all the biscuits. Yeah, as long as I can dunk it in my tea, I'm quite
Yeah,
happy.
exactly.
Okay, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody just starting out in business?
I think so. My thing would be keep it simple. You know, don't try and do too much too soon, which is really freaking hard.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you're assaulted by content and information, and you know, it's so easy to just switch lanes without you realizing that you're switching strategy because you saw a hack or a tip or whatever. So I think keep it simple, stick to one plan, and just make your mission just brand awareness. Like, if that becomes your mission from the get-go, just, you know, there you go. That's your mission, brand awareness. Keep it simple and do everything you can to fill that mission. Then you will, everything else will then kind of fall into place after that. I think you need to be known. So yeah, that's what I would say.
I think that, yeah, I think that's really good advice. All right, let us know where we can find you.
Cool. So find me on Instagram. So I am, my handle is at Laura Pulsford. I also have an e-commerce group on Facebook called the E-commerce Collective, which you can also find through my Instagram. And yeah, I would say Instagram is definitely the place. So give me a follow, you know, DM me or whatever. And yeah, I'd love to connect with you if you're listening to this.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will leave all of Lara's details in the show notes, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you again so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider leaving a review and make sure you're following me so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're interested in being a guest yourself, just reach out and we can have a chat. All the details of where you can find me are in the show notes of each episode. So let's connect, and I can't wait to see you next time.